Voices Radio.
Place it started with a case of Marky Mark disease, then rap departed. Now it's tax IDs and black eyed peas. Let's act retarded. Every track is harmless garbage. All your plaques is tarnished. Bring it back to carnage. Mac 11 stashed in trap compartments.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding. I am your co-host, Big Ron Parlo, and with me, of course, Dusty Hanshaw. How you doing, buddy?
Doing awesome and stoked for our guest that you somehow pulled the rabbit out of the hat as soon as I requested. So tell them quickly who we got today.
Yes. So Dana Lynn Bailey, Miss Olympia, 2013 Physique Olympia champ. She's going to be on the show. We're extremely excited to have her. And what do you think, Dusty? Can we keep her entertained for an hour?
I think, as long as we can keep the subjects changing and rolling, you know how she likes to change the equipment in the gym all the time. We got to keep it popping. But now I'm looking forward to it. And more than anything, I just wish that everyone would have been a part of our text back and forth when you said, who should we get? Because, I didn't want to go with a small fish. I literally texted you and I said, get us DLB was all I said. And I remember about 15 minutes later, you text me back and she said she's in. And I immediately was like, I cannot wait till I tell him what I want for Christmas. If he can get me DLB in 15 minutes, my Christmas present is going to be badass.
No, it was pretty funny. I was like, I was so happy that she agreed to come on. And it was a great interview, just so people know, we've already done the interview with her. We like to kind of do them first, then we intro the show. But, we had a great interview with her. We had so many questions that I was always going through the list, like, holy shit, which one will go next? Cause they've done everything. Like they've had this crazy life where they've driven across the country in Porsches and they've just started clothing lines. And, who has a fitness clothing line and thinks, oh, we should do an outdoor line? And they just
those two things. I should put together a record.
And then I should record an album. And then my wife's going to win the Olympia. And then she's going to start a clothing line.
Do we have any goats?
Yeah. So they've just done so many things. And they seem to knock everything out of the park. It's like that nothing but net thing. Yep. And Dana has, I've never seen anyone with consistent lines like her with like, she talks about the diversity in her fan base and just this sort of crazy stuff that I've seen around her. And, just really happy that she's done so well. We're very happy to have her on. So I think you guys are going to love the interview. Before we get to Dana, Dusty, how big are you now?
I just started the push. I'm excited because I took the 2 weeks off. I don't know if you saw that, but I had to do a quick recoup, 2 weeks out of the gym. Then I went to North Americans, had two amazing flights. The first one, I missed a flight that cost me $900 to get another one. Got there with baggage issues, had to kill about 7 people to get my bags.
Love it when both those things happen.
Yeah, that happened. I didn't get arrested. No one will know because right now, until people get Dane on here, not enough people are watching. So we're cool about the murders. And then on the way home, it took 30 hours to fly home. That's Pittsburgh to Scottsdale. Should be about 5.
Right. Yeah.
Missed flights, not by us, but by delays and weather and all that shit. So I got back to the gym yesterday. I weighed in at a topping 282 pounds this morning, which was frightening since I was already back up again. So now the big push goes. So the hope here is I've given myself the goal of 5 weeks to 300, which is – I've been there before, so that's not obscene.
Okay.
We'll see. No more flying, though. I'm done flying until I'm 300.
Jesus. Okay. Well, I'll see you at the Olympia anyways.
Well, maybe. I'm broke now after all this flying. So,
me, myself, my diet for fun's going well. I actually hit 273 this week. So I had a really high carb day, put 4 pounds back on. Now I feel huge again. Monster. Life is good.
What was the food?
I mostly just ate my normal diet, and then I added a restaurant meal and a bunch of donuts.
Attaboy, donuts. That's the one thing we haven't gotten since the show. We're going to go hit some donuts tomorrow.
I'm never really a donut guy, but everyone around me loves donuts. I thought I'll give it a try.
How'd it go?
It filled me out good, should we bring Dana on?
It's time. I think they're bored of us.
Okay. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we appreciate all the feedback. We'd love to hear what you guys think of the interview with Dana. She's a very close friend of mine and, you know, just very fortunate to get her on. So without further ado, here's Dana Lynn Bailey. Carnage. Dana Lynn Bailey, welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding with me and Dusty. What's going on?
What is up? I haven't seen you guys in so long.
Yeah, I know. I always, you know, you're the one, one of the booths, one of the only, what, two or three people I always try to go see at the expos. But even that is hard to do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They are. And I mean, you guys are worse than almost anyone.
Yeah, I'm going to make you wait in my line one time. Like, okay. To the end, to the back.
Yeah. I usually hang back. I usually hang back until Rob sees me.
Yeah.
Rob and I got the height connection, right? So I can kind of like, I can get him and then he goes, hey, and then, you know, I don't feel like such a dick just walking into your booth, you know?
Yeah, everyone's like, who is this guy? I'm like,
oh. Yeah. No, but there's always a couple people in line that are like, oh, that's the Mutant on a Mission guy.
Yeah. You don't have a name.
You don't have a name, though. Yeah.
So it was funny. You know, we never want to say who the guest is going to be just in case there's like a technical issue and we don't actually get them and like, you know, that sort of stuff until after we've obviously recorded. So I just kind of dropped a few hints on my Instagram this week. I posted that picture of you and I, and then I put up some stories last night of our YouTube.
Was Olympia. Was that Olympia I was training for?
You were getting ready for the Olympia in 2014.
Just a little pipsqueak at the time.
Yeah. So
a little tiny thing.
No, it's crazy. So, you know, we've got this crazy list of questions, and I mean, you know, we don't even know which areas to go in because you are this unique person who's done like a million different things. Mm-hmm. Do you ever just stop and think like, holy shit, like I've like raced my Porsche across the country. I've been on Ninja Warrior. I won the Olympia. I've been to 50 countries. Like, do you ever just like go, how did this?
You know what? So, like, we're always so fast paced that like, if we don't like actually stop and think and like realize everything we've done, like before, like I even met you when I was like training at Gold's Gym before I was pro, me and Rob like sat down, like we wrote out like a list of goals and it was like weird goals. And one of those goals, like on my side was like being on the cover of a magazine, like getting to the Olympia. My goal was never actually to win it. Like, that wasn't even a thought in my head. So
you never said that out loud.
Yeah, like owning a gym and like having my own website. And in the course of like 4 to 5 years, we accomplished every single one of our goals. Like Rob accomplished all his goals. I accomplished all my goals. And we're still like at this spot where we're like, where do we go from here? Like, So we just recently in the last year or two, like sat down and was like, it's really cool to be here. And now we live in what was supposed to be like when we retire, like move to Montana and just live the dream here. And we're like, why are we waiting? Let's just make that goal now. So we made that goal now. Like we just, everything we write down happens. Like just make sure it happens. Honestly.
There's gotta be like a magical chemistry mindset that occurred with you two. It's such an anomaly. Like I know Rob's a special character.
Yeah.
But you've got to be pretty special too. Like what do you think it is with you guys? Do you guys talk about ideas constantly?
I mean, he's definitely more of the idea guy. Like I wouldn't be doing half the stuff I'm doing. It's just like
I can tell he came up with some of these ideas.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and like it's things like, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, like I didn't think I would be able to do like half the things I could do, but I had someone that completely believed in me and then pushed me to actually do those. And he knows how like strong-willed and like strong-minded and how competitive I am that like once I have something in my head, I will fucking go for it. So
yeah.
Like us together, I think that's the hardest thing people, like couples, like they just don't support one another. And like the only way I made it to Olympia is because of him, and actually because of our entire team, because we have this crazy team. We have Austin and our video guy, and our everybody like picked up the slack. Like Drew picked up so much slack because I had to like kind of do this thing, because, you know, like competing is, it's a 24-hour a day job that I needed to focus on. And if I wanted to get there, all these people had to put a lot of effort into helping me get there. So it's not just like a Rob effort. It's like this awesome team that we have behind us, honestly. Yeah.
I remember going to your original warehouse where you had the factory and the warehouse and everything, the first time I came to visit you guys. And, you know, I mean, obviously they can watch the episode. But just being there was like, I don't know if you guys realized what was going on there from an outsider's point of view, but like Jonathan and I couldn't stop talking about it. Like we talked about that trip for like a year. There was so many things that were normal to you guys that were just so fucking next level. And I was like, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Like Rob's like, yeah, you know, I want to be successful, so I just sleep on the floor.
Yeah, we lived out of office. I prepped Olympia out of that warehouse.
You lived in like...
I lived in a warehouse.
Like an industrial warehouse. Every other girl on Instagram was on a boat, Dana.
Like things that most people wouldn't do, I like to do... Like, we just like to do things different. So when I... So I finally, Kaya, stop.
Oh, I miss Kaya. Hey.
Dogs are always a part of our show. That's good.
So when I think it was the Tampa Pro, was kind of like the first. I did the New York Pro, did really bad for some reason. I thought I looked great, but I did like mediocre. And I took like a year off, like found George. George helped me to get to the Tampa Pro. And instead of just like doing what normal people do, we decided to do the Airstream tour down to the Tampa Pro. So I prepped for like a week and a half, the craziest week ever. The last 2 weeks of my prep was out of an Airstream tour, driving, meeting people along the way, training with people along the way, dying.
Gyms.
Absolutely dying, all before the Tampa Pro. And I somehow got there and I looked, I got second, should have won. That's just my own opinion. But then did the Dallas Europa the next year, the next weekend. But we just like to do things that no one else does. So like even after Olympia, we did the Porsche tour afterwards when I'm like so bloated and like my ankles are swelling, and down to go to Drew's wedding. So we just like to do things that people don't do.
It's crazy. There's you know, Dusty and I were comparing notes here, looking at what we wanted to ask you about. And I have to take you back to your MHP days when you were traveling. This is kind of when I first got to know you guys, but we want to ask you about somebody. We want to ask you what it was like to travel and spend so much time and train with Kai.
Oh, Kai is wonderful. And
I don't think people understand Kai, and nobody would know him the way you would.
I mean, as long as you have like a lot of time on your hands, you can hang out with Kai. So when he says, "Oh, let's train at," Adam says like, "Hey, let's train at 8, you're actually training at like 10 or 11. So you just have to have like a little 2 to 3 hour buffer, but it's fine.
He's got an extra meal buffer.
Right.
He's on bodybuilder time, but you know, but like male butt, like for some reason, girls are on time. But every time I like hang out with male bodybuilders, I don't know if you guys are like this. You guys are always late.
Hey, we were on time.
Eating, or I don't know, but you're always late. Guy is exceptionally late sometimes.
Exceptionally late. He's an exceptional athlete, so he can be exceptional.
Yeah, so he does whatever he wants. But I think the hanging around him is just, as you know, like you've probably been around, and you just feel this like weird aura about him. And there's just something different about him that's so intriguing. And I don't, he can be 5 hours late. I'll still wait for him because he's the best. And, but like, he's crazy like me. Like, he'll wake up and he'll do whatever he needs to do to like look the part. And like, I mean, before expos and stuff, I would like go and I'd do cardi with him at like freaking 4:30 in the morning, because I don't know why we couldn't wait till six, but I did it anyway, because why not? But it was just to kind of be around him and be around someone like that, that has that it factor. And it's really cool and inspiring to be like around him.
Yeah, it was also, I mean, you were both pulling it off, but I mean, at his level, it was sort of unheard of, but just the amount of travel and stuff that you guys were doing, and he's still like showing up and getting second at the O.
Yeah.
Spending like 30 weeks of the year on the road and just crazy stuff like that. I mean, what do you think the key is for that sort of schedule? Like, what's the mindset when you're doing that stuff?
I mean, you're a performer.
Yeah.
You have to look the part. And as soon as I got like the pro status, I said, like, from that part on, like, I was like, I need to look the part all year round. So like, I never really did, which might have hurt me, I don't know, but in my opinion, it's only helped me, because when I go to expos, people see me online and then they see me in person, I look exactly the same, because one, I'm not just posting like, hey, throwback Thursday to when I actually was shredded and now I'm not. Like, I just never did that. So you, to be a professional and to be a professional athlete, I think you should look professional at all times. And I know, like, in some other areas, like, girls just don't look good, like, bulky guys. I think it looks cool. I want to see big, crazy looking guys. Like, it's all right. But as a girl, like, one, myself, I don't want to like put on like a bunch of like extra weight that I have to strip off anyway. So I'd rather put on nice lean tissue instead of like getting big and then shrinking and then getting big and shrinking. So it's to just having that professional mindset. And he definitely has that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to kick it to Dusty here, because he had a couple of really good ones.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, I think everyone has their feel of kind of from the outside looking in, what your life is like. So I've got a few, but one of the big one is that I thought a lot of people would be curious about is, and you know, we've had our experiences on the road. We won't mention hiding you under tables so you could eat a lunch or anything like that. That would be very weird to say that that's happening.
Totally normal. So this, so yeah, I'm used to it by now.
But, you know, guys ask all the time to me, like, what is it about being a bodybuilder, like when you decided you were going to be huge, that you didn't know was coming with it? So your guy's a little bit further. I mean, so the question is, what's it like being the Baileys in the industry, in the world? I mean, because, you know, everyone has these aspirations of success, fame, money, all that stuff. But what are some of the things that have come along with it that have surprised you? And they don't have to be bad, but just things that you're like, oh, that's, I didn't think that that was going to be how it is, you know?
You know what? Like, I never thought the diversity of the people that would follow us. Like, if you've ever been to any of the lines, like, I don't know, like being my age, like, I just assume like the people that are going to be there are like bodybuilders, and they're all between like 20 to even 40. But like, the age range is so crazy. Mostly because we're so like multifaceted. Like, Rob has the music, we have the businesses, obviously fitness, and then it's animals. Like,
right.
And I just realized, like, you just don't realize, like, putting your life out there, like, you're just, and then the cars on top of it. So we have people that don't even work out that are like, whoa, you guys are cool, because we race cars and we drift and we do all the sorts of crazy stuff.
Right.
So, and I just, it's funny to see it, like, people that shouldn't be coming to bodybuilding shows and expos coming out and bringing their kids. And like, we have grandparents, we have from kids to grandparents. And it's really cool to see it that way. And like, obviously, yeah, there's been like weird stuff where like, sometimes I can't like post when I'm training or where I'm training, because people just show up and like,
right.
So like, yeah, but most of it, it's like, it's really, really cool. And it's still weird Because to me, and like when I go home and I see my like high school, like I went and saw like my high school friends from my soccer days, and I get with them and they're like, we're just the same. And little do they know, like, well, they know who I am now, but they just see that it's so weird that you have like 2 million followers and it's just, you're just Dana. Like, you're no different. Like I've been the same person my entire life. And I think that's maybe what helped too. Cause I think a lot of people try to be someone that they're not. Mm-hmm. And I've just never really changed. I'm just still a little weirdo.
What you nailed was that I think is huge too, is when you don't buy into it yourself.
Yeah.
Everything is different, you know, cause when I go out with people, a friend of mine, I went out to dinner with his wife and she's not used to it. And we walk in the restaurant and she was like, how do you get used to all the people looking at you? And I'm like, what people? Because you seeing it. You know what I mean? And they see it like they're like, this is uncomfortable. And I'm like, and, you know, I'm in a dress shirt. I'm like, you know? So I think for you guys, because, I mean, I've known you guys long enough as well. Like, it's success that was earned. But I think that people would be shocked to understand that, like, you almost miss some of that stuff unless it's way over the top.
Yeah.
When people walk over and can't believe they're talking to Dana and can't speak, and you're like, I'm just a person.
Yeah. I'm so used to, like, at first, like, I think I'm so used to everything now. So, like, I'm used to, like, girls crying when they see me.
Yeah. I've seen people cry.
That might seem really weird, but I'm so used to it that, like, yeah. And then I just need to explain, like, look, like, I'm just a person. Like, I've been you. I've been a normal person my entire life, and I still am normal. I just put my entire life out there. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that people don't realize, when, at least when I started like social media and doing YouTube videos and like signing up to Facebook and all that, like I wasn't in it to like, ooh, I want to be famous. Like that wasn't like the intention. And I think people that like the newcomers now, when they get into Instagram, the whole goal is, I need to be Instagram famous. That wasn't like, it just happened, because this is like a 15-year progress. Like right. I started into lifting, and then we started doing a little social media, and like the YouTube videos was just to put out like training content for people, like to actually help people.
Right.
And then we saw that things would gain, but like the first intention was never like, I want to be famous.
Right.
So, and I think that's where people nowadays are like, no, I need to start a YouTube so I can be famous. And like that, if that's all you care about, then I don't know, you're sort of hurting yourself, in my opinion.
That's kind of a perfect place for me to ask this question, which is my most serious question that I could come up with. And I thought, if you're going to have DLB on the show, obviously you want to have some laughs and you want to talk about pumping some iron, but I also wanted to ask you a serious question, because I've heard you address it and I've heard Rob address it several times, and talking about social media, people trying to be something they're not, all of this sort of stuff. I've heard you talk about how you've always made a point to not use your sexuality in the wrong way, or in a way that you weren't totally okay with. And I've heard Rob talk about it many times. What are you telling the other women who come to you, the other girls who are coming to you, asking for advice and stuff? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you telling them?
I mean, the biggest thing is, like, you have to see yourself as, like, what do you see yourself? And to me, I've always been an athlete. And to me, an athlete demonstrates being an athlete in athletic ways. Like, I don't need to take my clothes off to get views. Like, I want to show you how to, like, and that's the thing. Like, if that's your thing, like, I've never been the Larissa, how do you say her last name? Reyes.
Yeah.
I've never, like, and she was, when I started into this whole YouTube thing, she was, like, really popular. And I was like, ooh, like, that's not me. Even with MHP, like, I've told them no on so many occasions, like, hey, we want you to wear that. And I said, no, I'll make my own outfit, because they wanted me at expos in these little booty shorts. Like, I'll wear a sports bra. That's fine. But then I would come in like big, like at the time I was wearing like UFO pants. I don't know. Big baggy. Weird. I don't know. So I'd have like big baggy, like sweatpants, or I mean, even stretch pants. But like, I don't want you to tell me what to wear. Like, I want to feel comfortable and okay with myself. And I also have a husband. So I don't know. I don't think he needs me showing my ass and my lack of boobs on the internet. So I've never, it's like some girls, like that's them. That's their personality. Some girls have that personality and you can do that, but it just wasn't me. So I just followed the whole backwards hat, cut t-shirts and baggy pants kind of thing.
That's exactly what Dusty does.
So we're the same.
Why am I not as popular if we're both doing the same thing?
Dress exactly the same.
Yeah. I mean, I think I just need to cut your shirts for you. So you gotta crop them. You gotta let your belly out.
That's
Dusty in a crop.
Belly out.
World would never be the same.
I think the line just Mutant just fired me just now. It's over.
Just lost all his contracts.
You just got to find your own style and like really actually like not just go based on like, oh, who's popular? What are they looking like? What are they doing and following? Because then you're just always going to be like that second version of this person instead of your own version.
What did you think when you started seeing your haircut everywhere?
I mean, it weirded me out for a little bit because I was like, but that's my haircut. But like, you know, the copying is also a form of like respect, and like obviously they were fans of me, so yeah, it was weird, but I don't mind it anymore. I'm used to it. You can always tell like the DLB fan. You're just like, oh, black plunging bob, that's she likes DLB.
I wish I could recognize my fans, but you know, it's hard to recognize one out of every 10,000 people.
Shut up.
I was gonna go with bald bodybuilder with a beard, but I realized that they're all on androgen, so they're all bald like me. So
try to see it as like it's very flattering that they see me, and I don't know, that they like my hair, so I must be doing something right.
I was telling somebody the other day about how you used to duck under the table at the expo or go in the back and you put on an Adidas hoodie and you'd flip the hood up.
Oh yeah.
And then you'd run to the bathroom or you eat your food or something. But you know, if you had to go out, if you had to venture out into the hordes, into zombie land, you would put on a disguise. You would
one show I borrowed like a Halloween mask from someone, and that worked out. I don't know why they had like a Halloween, it was like a big horse head or something, I don't remember, and I just put that on and just I walked to the bathroom. It was awesome. I put a sweatshirt on, horse head, and I'd like walk to the bathroom. I was like, this is awesome.
That also
got a picture with DLB. I didn't realize. I was like, I got to get a picture of this chick with a horse head.
Yes.
I ran out immediately.
I just like walk through everybody. But a lot of times what we'll do is like Rob will just like put me on his shoulders and he just sprints, and like you can't stop him.
No.
No, that would be dangerous.
Yeah, people don't realize how big Rob is.
No.
I've had a lot of people look at photos of me and Rob together and they're like, shit, he's big. Like he's not small next to you. You know, I'm a big guy. And Rob's like sitting beside me, you know, like
just holding
all natty, 255, just, you know.
I mean, he hit 300 at one point in time.
He did. I remember. I remember when Rob was
there. Bailey and tried to save his life.
Yeah, and then the Save Rob Bailey hashtag started kicking, I think, at that point.
Now he's like 250 now. So he's much healthier at that point.
Ninja weight.
Hey, go ahead, Dusty.
All right, so this is kind of a personal one for me too, but the year that you won the Olympia, it was funny, but Rob and Dana were actually coming out of the expo and I was walking in and I just said, I go, how did it go real quick with prejudging? And Dana looks at me excited and goes, I got the top call out. Like, I got first call out. I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I went to the booth and did the whole thing. And we were fortunate enough, our booth was set up pretty close to the stage where you guys were at night. So my question is, on when you won the Olympia, what was better, winning the Olympia or the realization before they announced your name that every single person there wanted you to win the Olympia? Like, I felt like in the crowd, I was like, if she doesn't win, they're going to tear this place apart.
Yeah. yeah.
They were screaming your name.
Yeah. I don't need, like, everything was, like, really surreal because it was everything that I had been working for, like, the last 10 years. Like, I spent so many years being last place, absolutely dead last place for however many years when I was competing in figure, and then they like finally came out with this division, and I still like didn't see that ever happening. That was like, that was just too out of my head, like, to be considered that. But like after just two of us up there, that was, it was, I think I just blacked out. I don't remember anything, but I do remember crying. I do remember that. And yeah, I think it was more or less just the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, watching people. And when they announced your name, I literally thought the roof was going to come off of the place. I was like, the place went nuts.
They couldn't have said any other name. The crowd wouldn't have had it.
They probably actually might have booed for the first time. I don't know.
Definitely would have booed.
Yeah. I don't know. But like second place, like second place, I even looked better that year. Unfortunately, I thought I fucking killed it the second year. And I mean, nothing really happened. And I think that was as lame as this sounds, that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, was getting second place. I like when everyone likes me and like wants to cheer for me. Like, I don't like feeling that like negative when you're on top. It's for real. It kind of sucks. And I hate like having people just gunning for me, gunning for Dana Bailey. It kind of makes me just feel overall nervous. But after being second place and nothing changed, it hit me that no one really actually cares about how well I do. Obviously they would want me to win, but if I got first place, second place, or 15th place, they would all still be there and they would all still be cheering. And I think that was one of the coolest things that made me realize, like, I'm doing more than just being on stage.
Being the physique Olympian champ.
Number one. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's more or less like, I'd rather be like people's champ than maybe even like an actual champ. Like, doesn't matter.
Right.
Right. It didn't change anything. It wasn't like it mattered. And it's not like the checks stopped rolling in and the lineup got shorter. I know. I think that's everybody's fear.
I did the first Arnold was after getting second, and I got second at the Arnold as well. And even then I was like, okay, so this is now, it's like official. Like, I'm not the champ. Like, I lost Olympia. I'm second place Arnold. Like, I'm not the champ. So again, and the crowd was even crazier there. I mean, it's the Arnold, and you go back and there's just a freaking sea of people, and that was honestly the best thing for me, was actually getting second place. As stupid as that sound, I would never take that first place ever in a million years away from me, but it was good to realize that I'm more than just like popular because I got first place.
Do you think maybe it was also a good thing because, you know, it sort of led to you retiring from competing, which you didn't need to be doing anyways, technically?
Yeah.
And that's such a huge investment for everyone around you.
It's funny because I still haven't, like, I feel like I'm retired because I obviously took many, many years off. And I'm not going to put it out there, but I have this little itch to do like one more, almost just to see if I can do it. Because I don't, every single show I've ever signed up for, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this again. Like,
right.
Since I went pro, it's like I see pictures of myself, I'm like, how did I do that? Like, I don't know if I actually can do it again. And there's like a small part of me just to see, like, I'm 36 now. Like, I honestly feel like I look better than I ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just like, I've had 4 years of off season or something.
You look awesome all the time. Like your quads and delts and
everything is so symmetrical now. I'm like, what does it look like? I don't like, so there's like part of me that wants that. But honestly, the reason I stopped was Rob, I probably would still be competing if Rob didn't step in. Rob and Drew just, they saw, like, you, with bodybuilding, it changes you. It changes the way you think about food. It changes the way you think about training. And I was losing myself a little bit. So it was hard to, like, have, I don't know. My husband wanted his wife back, basically. Like, to go out to eat with him and, like, be able to go out to eat and not, like, have dessert and not think about, fuck, like, I got to do 45 minutes of cardio tomorrow. Like, that's how I thought all the time. It's like, right. This, I have to do more cardio. And sometimes I would do cardio after dinner. Like, so, that, like, it's not, that's not healthy. That's not good way to think about food and training. So I took a break and I noticed that still nothing was changing. I was able to be more productive in work. So now I have full control over, like, the Flagner Fail female line, which has exponentially now, which before we didn't really even have a female line. It was very, like, unisex kind of stuff. Like, and occasionally we would get some girls, like, tops in, but now, like, I'm custom making everything that I want to make. So I have, like, full control over that with me and my, which we hired a female designer then too. I now own my own business, which is my website, DLB Daily. We're on almost going on our first full year. And now it's like, now we're just going to expand it and maybe get other trainers involved. So
what are you doing there?
What's that?
What are you doing there? Like, for people who don't know, for the five people.
The DLB, it's just daily workouts. Everyone does it. It's such a,
but not everyone's DLB that does it. So I think yours probably works a little
better. No one has the amount of volume I do.
Oh, I can attest to that.
I've talked to her warm up, Rob.
Yeah. You know, I've told this, I've told people about training with you, Dana. I mean, I've trained with, like, some of the heaviest hitters in the world, you know, I mean, this guy here fucking deadlifts 8 plates for reps. I mean, I've trained with these animals and yeah, there's, like, strong people out there. They go fucking hard. They yell and swear between sets, and it's a lot of fun, and we bang the weights. But the workouts with you were very unique. I've trained with you twice. You just do a relentless number of sets.
Yeah.
Like, I tell people that back workout we did. Yeah, I mean, you were getting ready for the Olympia when we trained together, and you were 6 weeks out, I think. And we did, like, 40 sets of back.
That's and, more than my entire week, for the record.
Yeah, Dusty does, like, 30 sets a week.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I go into the gym. I'm like, well, I like this and I do this and I want, there's so many different exercises. How do I cram them all into one?
I can tell that you love the actual process of training. Like, you love moving weights.
Yeah.
And we did, like, thousands of reps of rows and pull downs.
Yeah. I love that day for back.
Yeah. I was so, and, like, you know, I mean, we had a great workout, you know, we smoked it, but I was a little shocked. I remember that day it was super humid because it was pouring rain out and I was just completely soaked.
Oh, you were disgusting.
I was
I love it.
I was so dehydrated. I was just guzzling. I even put salt in my bottle to try to keep up. Like, I was sweating like a pig.
Yeah.
And when we were driving back to the hotel, my face and my feet were cramping. Like, I had cramps in my face, my toes. So I was so depleted. That's only happened to me a couple times. And, like, once in Texas, I think, and in Asia when I was super hot. But
and the that day training with you,
I sweat so much. I was fucked up.
I trained with, oh, my God, like, Flex.
I was hungover.
Jay Raymond, like, Kai Green, hypertrophy coach, if you've ever trained with him. He I don't know if you have you trained with Joe before?
No, but I know exactly who
so he is. Like, lays awake at night. So I just trained with him maybe 2 weeks ago. And he, like, laid awake all night just trying to think of something that would actually fuck me up because
I saw the post about that workout because he said he knows you're super hard to kill.
So, like, he'll make, like, for lack of a better words, he makes these, like, death sets where, like, you just go from exercise to exercise, and that's usually, like, just the last set. And I'm like, cool, we did that. Like, I'm going to do it again. He's like, what? I was like, but it felt good. Like, shouldn't I just do it again? And he's like, no, that you're supposed to be dead now.
You're like, I'm not dead. I'm
I liked it. I thoroughly enjoy like the just, it's more like I always tell people I train my mind more than the actual muscle. If anything, it's like this thrilling thing that to like put myself through these like crazy, like little gauntlet sets. And usually if I survive it, I'm like, oh, well, let's try it again.
That's the thing though, Dana, that's what makes you Dana Lynn Bailey.
Yeah.
And that's what I've tried to explain to people. It's all through everything. And you guys both do it. Like you and Rob does the same thing with business, you know, like you guys have that drive. And I mean, one of the things I have to ask you, because you've done so many things, what would be like, Rob has all these crazy projects. He's like, Hey babe, I'm going to make an album.
Yeah.
What did like, okay. So, you know, he just says that at breakfast one day. Yeah. So of all the things
he was already doing it.
Totally normal.
So of all the things Rob's done, I want to ask you, what was your favorite project and what was your least favorite project? Is there anything where you're like, oh, babe, don't do that one.
Of his projects, my favorite project currently that he is working on is he is doing his first solo album. Charlie Hustle and him have been making music forever. And it's been on movies. It's played on NFL teams. Like
it plays awesome. In our gym constantly on the Spotify playlist.
It's so good. But he's now like branching out, just trying to do his own thing because like, I don't know, we're like kind of metal, like da 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 da. So his next album, he has like full control. Like the other albums, obviously Charlie's the producer. He's the musician. He does everything. Rob just screams. This time, like Rob writes everything. Rob gives input. Like he has someone, a producer helping him that does music. But it's generally all his idea. And I love metal. And this album, like As I Lay Dying, For Today, freaking August Burns Red. Like I like his album more than theirs. And that's really crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. I was not aware that this was
really good. And it still has that like positive, upbeat, like motivational. It's still geared towards lifting and not just lifting. It's just with Charlie and him, they've always tried to create something that like, hey, like this is what you would listen to like when you're working out, like
empowering
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for that, honestly, for my own personal reasons, because that's what I like to listen to. I think some people are going to hate it and some people are going to love it. Cause I mean, if you don't like metal, even like the Charlie and him, like people, like when he screams, they're like, it's a little harsh. And like, oh, then you're not going to like the next album. I'm excited for that one for him personally on a creative level. And then for my own reasons that I just want good music to listen to.
Yeah.
And then,
Is there anything he's done you're like, oh, that's babe, don't do that. Or you know, or he did it and you hated it. Or even if he loved it.
No, it's weird because we just make everything work.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Like, I think he gets involved with like way too much stuff for sure. Like we started doing like Airbnbs now and it's like, kind of a headache, but like I don't know, we make it work. I got to kind of do interior design of the first one, so that was kind of fun. And I know he's just like spreading himself thinner and thinner and thinner, but you know what, we just honestly just make everything work.
No, it's crazy. I wanted to ask you a couple of kind of more rapid fire ones, and then I'll hand it over to Dusty here.
You're ready.
Bodybuilding versus powerlifting.
Oh, bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding.
Yeah. So I powerlift. I realized that I actually don't really care how much I lift. I don't care at all. I would much rather look like the strongest person in the gym than actually be the strongest person. And I think I'm 36. I got into powerlifting. I kind of reversed it. Usually you should powerlift, then get into bodybuilding. And I reversed it.
Right.
Right. So now I'm going back to like bodybuilding because it wrecked me. Even for like the small amount of time that I did, I've been training for 16 years, bodybuilder style with a little hint of CrossFit here and there. But I started powerlifting and now like I have to see a chiropractor every week. And yeah, my kids are all like on top of each other. And I hate deadlifting. I'm probably the one person that just hates deadlifting. Mainly because I pee myself, but that's besides the fact.
Yeah, she's peed on platforms all across America.
In front of so many people, it's embarrassing.
Somebody's out there trying to buy that platform right now.
Yeah. I think Mark Bell said someone offered $10,000 for that
Mark
one.
Mark Bell went in and like cut a big square out of the carpet as soon as I left. And now he sells it on eBay. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Hey, Mark Bell's an entrepreneur. Can't blame him.
Smart man.
He sees money in the rubber. It's right there in front of him.
No, I did USAPL. I was getting bored, not bored, but like I wanted to train for something. And I've always had a really, really good, strong bench. And that's the only thing that actually keeps me competitive is my bench is 30 pounds more than everybody else. But then my deadlift is usually 25 to 30 pounds less than everybody else. But so that's what kept me competitive. But, I forget where I was going with this. Oh, I chose USAPL, because they were drug tested and you know me, the natty girl that no one believes. So they, it was just kind of to prove a point and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Cause as soon as I actually won the first meet that I went to and they like drug tested me right there. Obviously passed like 2 weeks later, they came to the gym and drug tested me again. 3 weeks after that, drug tested me again. I'm like, guys, seriously, like, I'm really not doing anything.
Right. Seems weird.
Yeah, like USAPL is like the one like federation that like takes it super serious. And that was like the small initiative to, that's why I at least chose USAPL. And then the other thing was just to just train for something. And it was fun, but it gets super repetitive for me and kind of boring. And it's exhausting just like squatting and deadlifting and benching like 90,000 times a week. Because like, right. I was squatting 3 times a week. I was deadlifting heavy like once a week, benching 3 times a week. So like every day you're just like, ugh, like it's a lot. And it's always like the same things over and over. But I also didn't train like a powerlifter. So if it was like bench day, working with the manager of our gym at the time, Colin, who trains with the USAPL. So he'd give me the workout, my powerlifting workout for the day.
I see where this is going, Dana.
Yeah.
When you were done with that, you would start doing
that. And like the couple, like the two or three, like the two accessory movements that I was supposed to do with that. And then I would do chest day after that.
Your powerlifting was your warm up.
Yeah. My powerlifting was my warm up to my bodybuilding workout. So I would do like an hour powerlifting because like when you're training super heavy, like the rest periods are longer. It just takes you a really long time to get up, especially on squat day. I would squat for like an hour and then I would have an hour and a half leg workout afterwards, like doing 1,000 different reps and sets.
Yeah. No,
so
I
didn't say that I was going to ever be the best powerlifter ever because definitely didn't train like a powerlifter, but I wanted to try to continue to do both, somehow get stronger, but still look good.
Right.
Right. I can see you being the bad student in the powerlifting.
No, I was gonna, like, but I, he knew what I was like.
He knew before you even started.
I think the only time I stopped, like 2 weeks out before nationals, I would stop or I did, I trained for Arnold that year. I somehow made it to the Arnold's, by my second meet, which some people train forever to get to the Arnold. So 2 weeks out, I would cut back on bodybuilding.
She didn't say stop. She said cut back.
Yeah, just cut down a little.
You would do 3 times my workout because she cut back.
I basically did your workout afterwards.
See, there it is.
Oh, that's crazy. Dusty, you got another one?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the big one, and this is kind of encompassing to the conversation we had earlier too, because I have a lot of people that will ask me, I mean, I don't know what it is about bodybuilding, but if you're in it, your opinion matters. So people be like, do you think Kai is going to compete again? Do you think Dane is going to compete again? And I think my answer on a business standpoint is they would if they want to for competing. But
yeah.
Quite honestly, you and Kai are two people that I feel are bigger than bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Because your reach is well beyond it. You know, I mean, just like you said earlier, when I watch a line of people at Kai, I laugh because I'm like, oh, Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Bodybuilding. This. Art. Yeah. You know what I mean? You
Stranger
watch,
Things.
You know, yeah. Same with you guys. Yes, exactly. Stranger Things. So I think it's kind of a cool a factor because realistically, so many people right now, they think that they need bodybuilding.
Yeah.
They have to bodybuild if they want this. I've got to compete. I've got to do this. And I mean, I'm a much opposite end of the spectrum example, but like I'm not a great bodybuilder. But mm-hmm. I can make a career out of it because of all these other avenues. So have you found that maybe more people are seeing or what's it like to realize that like you don't need bodybuilding at all? I mean, you just happen to show up there because that's a good place to go set up the booths. And a lot of people like that too, you know, or what, yeah. What's it like?
Like if I would compete, I like it would be like how I said, it's almost like just to test myself. Like, right. I don't even care about, like, I'm not going to win, like, not even close to, I don't even know if I could compete on a figure stage anymore. Like, the girl, it definitely advanced, but it would just be for my own, like, crazy mindset. Like, can I actually do it again to test myself? It wouldn't be because it's going to help me. It also would be great for content. It would be a great way to it's just great content to watch, to have people follow along, and I would just be able, it's just another avenue for people to follow and get information from. And I would go over like my diet and what I'm doing and put it all out there. Cause like, I don't think like everyone used to like hide for shows and you would never know what they look like until the day of the show. And I like to be like transparent so you can actually see what's happening. And you would see me crying. Like, that's why we did all the YouTube videos. Like, it would be me training and I'm just bawling as I'm like squatting. And I would like talk about like how I'm feeling and all that and what actually goes into it. And I would show like what I was eating throughout the day. So content wise, it's like a gold mine for that. So if you need content, it's great. But do I need it? No, it would literally take me away from everything I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. But
I love yeah. that you nailed that, though, because it's something that I think most people miss now is I always when people will reach out and ask, what should I do? You know, I'm trying to think of ideas. And, you know, the big thing is document, don't create. Like, yeah. You guys have nailed that and you do it at the hardest times. I mean, every time I've competed in the past, I've said, OK, I'm going to document all the way to the end. And then you get tired. And
now you're tired.
Your job done. And next thing you know, you've gone 4 weeks. You haven't posted a goddamn picture on Instagram, let alone done some YouTube videos.
Yeah.
You guys killed it in that department. Like you said, I mean, when you guys did the tour for the last week and a half, 2 weeks before the Olympia, I was thinking, man, she's a machine. Because yeah. not only are you in the hardest point of bodybuilding, but you also, like you said earlier, you got to put your face on. You're an entertainer. It's time to be DLB when you walked out into that crowd in the gym because they don't give a shit that you're tired.
Exactly. Yeah. So content-wise, it's gold mine.
Yeah. We've had you for a while now. We're really, really lucky to get you on the show. I only have one more question for you. And this one's sort of close to my heart because you know me. But what are some of your favorite places to train? In your whole life, what are some of the gyms and even your own gym would count, but where do you just fucking love to train?
My own gym is definitely, honestly, obviously it's my gym. So of course I would want to say that, but I have the best gym in the fucking world.
You're like, talking about the Warhouse, the public Warhouse
gym in Pennsylvania is hands down the best gym I've ever trained at. Like, just machine wise, the music, the atmosphere, generally, like I'm always there when there's like an event. So there's lots of like big people, and even the people that train there, they're all those people go there every single day. So everyone like looks the part. It's not just like you're going to an LA Fitness where you have all sorts of people, which is nice, but everyone like that works out at the Warhouse gym works out every single day. So hands down, my gym is the best. My second gym would be this private gym because no one's here.
Rob in there. Rob's got the shirt off, hitting the ab shots between sets. You're curling in the background.
The other gym, oh God, all the gyms that are my gyms was our old Warhouse gym that you trained at. Doesn't exist anymore, but anyway. But let's see, like other people's gyms. Who have I been to recently? The bad thing is my life is such a blur that like I don't even remember where I was at last week.
Well, you said the Warhouse. It's funny because people ask me that question all the time. What's the best gym you've ever been to? And there's kind of like two or three gyms I always sort of say, like, I'm like, oh, that's hard to say best at ever. Cause you know, a lot of these gyms, I trained at them once.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when you're somewhere for a week and you really get a feel for a gym, but I always mention the Warhouse.
Yeah.
You had that crazy setup with that basement there, with that cement basement where you just had that dungeon down there. I don't know what that used to be, like a meat locker at a grocery store or something.
The meat locker was actually in the back.
Power room. You had the power room back there.
The power room was the back.
And then just your main gym is ridiculous, you know, handpicked everything, all the Nebula leg gear.
And it's organized. So I have a big thing with like some of the most hardcore gyms that like I've trained at, like Emporium Gym in like the UK is like that would be rated up there because one, the owner is freaking rad and he like takes care of you when you're there. They have a ton of equipment and that atmosphere is so good. So atmosphere is like very high up on my list. So like having good music and like the clientele, the type of people that go there that, I mean, like I want to be motivated when I see people working out, you know, and they have that clientele that motivates you. But the dumbbell section is all over the place. Like one thing a gym needs to have is just organize your dumbbells, man. Just have them all matching. And like
very personal right here.
Just like trying to find like certain weight. Like as soon as I have to be like, where is it? There's a 125. Where's the other one? Just, like looking around that like, ruined my work.
Just right. And I know with some gyms, it's just a space management issue, you know. I love it when they're able to put like all the leg equipment in one area.
Yeah.
All the back equipment in one area.
Yeah.
You know, there's some great gyms like that. But no, I always mention your gym, Dana, and both of them. Like I trained at both your gyms. And I mean, the cool thing about your original Warhouse was how it was in the warehouse. So like you're in the gym, but behind you are just pallets of like
orders.
Like Flagner Fail t-shirts to the roof and forklifts and printing presses and all that is just right behind the leg press there.
Yeah.
And it was just such, and then you had like a skateboard half pipe just.
Oh yeah, we had a half pipe. I forgot about that. And we had the Ninja Warrior rig.
Yeah, the Ninja Warrior rig and a half pipe just in the middle of fucking warehouse.
Who doesn't have that?
Like if your gym doesn't have a half pipe, go the fuck home.
Thanks, Dana. That's the quote. That's the quote of the show. If your gym doesn't have a half
pipe. Oh, shit. Our one in Reading doesn't have a half pipe. Don't go home. Stay.
We got a ping pong table, though, or air hockey. Hockey.
Yeah, we got ping pong. We actually redid the tour because when you were there, we didn't have everything painted yet. And we got all new equipment. We have an entire line of prime equipment. So we ended up and just reshot at least like the walkthrough of everything.
We did have a bunch of prime when I was there.
Okay. We have like the full line. We have, I think we counted 28 or 31 squat stations because we got like a humongous rogue rig.
Yeah.
Like what gym has, most gyms have like two squat sections, like squat rig. Like we have 38 stations where you can like 31 stations where you can squat. Like what? Yeah.
Just in case.
Curl in any squat rack you want because there's enough.
Yeah,
curly. We can also squat in the other ones.
And squat in something else. Yeah.
Okay, Dana, thanks for coming on. It's been a pleasure. You're our first Olympian on the show, and you're our first female guest on the show. We, you know, Dusty, it was actually Dusty's idea. We were like, who are we going to get? And he goes, you know, we got all these female listeners that are, it's been crazy. We've been getting crazy feedback from these female listeners. And he goes, we should try to get, like, who's the heaviest hitter you could think of? And we both knew exactly who we were saying. It
makes sense that I'm first. You know, being first is, like, kind of my thing. First show, first Miss Olympia. Might as well be the first female on your show.
And to be honest, I actually asked Rob first because I know Rob used to have a policy where he would go on a show before you to make sure it was okay.
I don't know. In case you suck at your job, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I think Rob trusted me enough to throw you to the wall. So. It's been a pleasure, Dana. Good luck with everything this year. I look forward to seeing you. I assume you'll be at the Olympia.
At the Olympia. And here's another gym, just since we're on that, go to the Lift Factory. That's another really, really good gym. So
In Vegas. So in Vegas, go to the Lift Factory. Dusty and I have pounded it out there.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Dana. We love you.
All right, bye. Thank you.
See ya.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
So what do you think, Dusty? Interview two in the books.
It was awesome, as we said. And I think the big thing for me was I hope people feel the same way. I mean, I don't know Dana as well as you do and Rob, but I've spent some time with him. And every time I get, whether it's on the radio show or in person, some time, you realize they're just normal people that live the life and hustle their asses off for everything they do. So, I mean, literally, I could have easily shut the show down and just carried on the conversation and kept it rolling just because I love being around that energy. Because I think the big thing that people should feel and get from interview from Dana is they don't feel like they're special. They just go for it. And I don't think most people do, you know?
I think the one thing that I picked up on through that whole conversation was the theme, and she never said the word, and we never talked about it, but they execute and they finish.
Yep.
And that's what most people can't do. A lot of people have the idea, a lot of people get started, but they can't finish, they can't execute on a consistent basis, they can't forego the instant gratification for the long-term reward, which she's proven many times. I mean, her and Rob are just like this ball of just doing that repeatedly, you know, like they have this machine.
Well, we've known them long enough, you and I, that, you know, like you said in the show, we've both known them before they were the Baileys.
Yeah.
So I knew Dana and Rob when they walked through the expo at the Olympia and it was like, oh, hey, what's going on? And there weren't 700 people following them.
Yeah.
Quick conversation and out the door. And that's why it's funny when people get, you know, they think that they're this overnight success and it's like, are you kidding? I mean, yeah, they've moved quickly, but overnight was still years.
Yeah. I knew, I met them before she won the Olympia.
Yep.
So like a lot of people knew who she was cause she was competing as a pro,
mm-hmm.
but she hadn't won the Olympia yet. And, you know, just like they haven't changed. She hasn't changed. They have a crazy energy, like, you know, how she's talking about her training and how she just can't stop a workout because it says it's over on paper. Like just that whole thing. There's always more to be done. You know, I had a friend that used to have a saying, I'm sure you know, people have heard it, but he said, you know, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra. Yep. And I think that they're willing to do the little extra every single time on every single project.
For sure. Absolutely. And the big thing is, Rob, they love it.
Yeah.
I've never heard Rob complain of the work or even really call it work. It's just what they do. You know, I've talked to Rob more than Dana, and he doesn't know any other way. Like, you know, I know that anybody who's known them long knows there's been a couple times where they had to kind of shut him down before he got deathly ill because he doesn't know how to shut himself down.
Yeah, like they've actually had, like, workload interventions with him.
Yeah, no, for real, which is comical because for most people, a workload intervention means I need you to work, asshole.
Yeah, you got
to
pay some bills, yeah. Yeah.
So, no, it was awesome, man. So I'm sure that everyone enjoyed it as much as we did. And obviously, I'm just going to toss out there now that the goal is to get Rob on next to get his take on this whole thing. Maybe not next episode, but
right. Well, Rob, he's already said he'd be happy to come on. Schedule's tough with him. But you know that one thing she mentioned, and she mentioned it so casually, like it was just normal. She's like, yeah, you know, when we documented my prep, you know, I'd be bawling doing squats.
I've never done that.
And I'm like,
I've done a lot of squats, but I never cried during squats.
Yeah, it just tells you, like, she's bawling. She's having, like, an emotional, overwhelming emotional, you know, from being just taxed. I mean, anyone who's prepped for a show, I don't even know if the level of the show matters. But, you know, you have those moments where it's just so heavy on you.
Yep.
And she's still doing her fucking squats. She's crying in the gym.
To cry. She cried while she was working.
She's like, she doesn't like wait till she's done crying to do her next set. You know, I get the impression she's like, I have a set to do. Yeah. Still crying.
But I still know how to squat, so I can do both.
I can squat and cry. But that's just, you know, people complaining about sore wrists and people complaining about this and that. And
think about that mentality, though, with him and her, too. I mean, I know you've been with Emily during preps, and a lot of people have, like, that ability as a husband, training partner, all those things, that when she's crying, to not stop her. Keep going. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of tough love there. I've seen it.
Yeah, no, it'd be brutal to do. I mean, and I think anybody who's ever been in that position, it's tough. I mean, there's been times in my life in relationships where I'm like, I got to stay coach dusty right now. And that's tough.
Yeah.
But fucking get it done. I've got to basically pretend I'm talking to Ron, but I don't care that you're breaking down. We have a set to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's difficult. And there's been times in my life that I've failed in that step and been like, hey, maybe you should sit back for a minute. And that's actually the wrong move. So for him to be like, keep filming, keep squatting, go.
Yes. Yes. Get under the fucking bar.
Yeah. And not that even set. She needed him to push. But that he didn't even think about slowing her down. You know?
No,
what I mean?
No. But that is how they operate. And I mean, yeah. I think everyone's even seen him in videos yell at her to push it. You know, like,
yep.
Like it's not like it's a secret that he's willing to be that guy. And then she's that guy for him. I mean,
for sure.
You know, I got to tell a funny story. I remember I went to the warehouse the first time I went to see them at that old warehouse, and I was talking to Jose about my visit.
All right.
Jose had just been there, like, and he stayed there.
Yeah, he told me about his visit. It was awesome.
Yeah, and Jose was, like, telling me what he did. And I remember I was in this one room, and Rob's like, yeah, I just painted this room. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, I keep all this stuff in here. And, you know, he showed me around, casually mentioned that he just painted the room. Jose goes, yeah, man, when I was there, like, 2 months ago, I got up at, like, 3 a.m. to take a leak, and Rob was up with a mask on, painting the room.
Because he got an idea.
And I was like, what are you doing up? And he's like, oh, I couldn't sleep. I decided to paint this room. It's got to be a different color.
Now.
Jose was like,
now.
Now. Right fucking now. Like, I can't sleep. It's on my mind. It's got to get done. Like, I can't, I'm not going to make a note, paint room.
Yeah. Get up. Tell someone else to do it, which they had plenty of money at that point.
Yeah. You just paid some kid $100 to paint the room. But Jose just, like, wipes his eyes and goes back to bed, you know?
What was funny about that was Jose had told me the night before they were, you know, cranking so bad. They were all sitting around, and Rob fell asleep in a chair. So when he woke up and saw him at, like, 3 a.m, that was, like, 3 hours later. So that means Rob was maybe out for an hour or so, And then it was like, you know, he's probably out like this. And then that room should be green.
Nah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, when I get an idea like that, I feel advanced because I write it down on a piece of paper by the bed.
Yeah.
So I remember in the morning, but my ass don't get out of bed. And you know damn well, if it's painter room, someone's getting a phone call.
Yeah.
Room painted.
Yeah. But that's it. It's execution, getting stuff done with a sense of urgency.
Yep.
You know, I know, Dana, when they want to do something, they just like immediately commit, you know?
Immediately start.
Yeah, immediately start. You know, I know a lot of people have a bad habit of doing that. Like they like plan for so long that they change their mind on the original plan and they just keep, they're just always.
It happens. Yeah.
You know, they're just always like replanning something that they haven't started yet. But, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a lesson there to just like, just fucking start now.
Yeah. You go for it. You figure it out as you go.
And also the key, you know, when we started at the very beginning of the interview, she said, you know, Rob and I sat down and we wrote out all our goals. How many times have you heard someone who's done a lot of cool shit say they actually like did that?
Oh yeah. Every time. And I know everybody says, once you put it to paper, it becomes real, or you find out you're full of shit.
Yeah.
Because if it's really a goal, you really get to work. I think anybody who doesn't do that is crazy. Even if they know in their head what it is, I'm a firm believer. Pull out a piece of paper. And as much as I'm a phone and computer guy, it's the same reason that I still log my numbers on a spiral notebook and I write down goals on a piece of paper. Yeah. It's what works for me. And I think it's what works for most people.
It's the physical, you know, you're writing it down. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting it done. And plus we're old, so we still know how. So that's cool.
I posted a story on my Instagram of me going through my old logbook.
I saw it. I laughed because I'm like, I got all those bastards too.
And I got a comment from a woman. She said, she goes, oh, I'm impressed to see that you were writing in such good cursive back then. You know, because I was like, leg day, like, you know, old fashioned.
Mine, she would say, I'm surprised you're not writing in a crayon.
Because right. So they, using cave symbols.
I'm like this. I grab it, you know, leg day.
Yeah. But we did. We do all develop. I mean, I'm sure your code looked very much like mine. You know, we all had code, you know, 315 times 8 plus 2F force reps. Yep. Plus one N for the negative.
I could read your workout and get you through the next one, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. You know, plus two PR, partial reps, plus, you know.
Oh, yeah. We've all got the shorthand when needed. You hand that to someone new to the gym, they'd be like, what does this even say? And I can read the words, but I don't know what you're getting at.
Yeah, when Dusty writes 405 RP and then puts 11... 6-3. I know that's his rest pause set. I know exactly what it is. You know?
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Dusty. You know, it's funny. We had Dana on for almost an hour. I'm not quite sure how long it went.
Yep.
And I feel like you and I could do another hour because I got a bunch of stuff to talk to you about. Now, you know, I guess we're supposed to leave the people wanting more because there's only so much cardio they can do in a week.
No shit.
You know?
I will take these subjects to next week, and you guys make sure you're subscribing, both on the temporary channel and of course on Advices until we switch over, and we'll let you guys all know when that's going to go down.
Yeah, you bet. So Dusty's YouTube, if you're watching this, you're already there. If you're listening on Advices Radio, you can go to Dusty's YouTube. Watch for now. We will have an actual channel soon. We're just deciding what exactly we're going to do. So I'm being generous enough, giving Dusty all the subs.
Thanks,
Dusty.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, appreciate it. Remember, guys, just bodybuilding.
Built this dream and never had a doubt. Walk like I built this town. Yeah. Radio.